This week on the Nervous Record.
This just in, Jerusalem, now the capital of Israel. Thoughts?
Are you kidding me?
I'm Amanda Socks, and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later.
Just letting you know, yeah, I'm hogging up stuff from the upside down. It's great. I mean, it's just that head cold, and it's turned into this productive cough.
Productive?
Something I'm doing. Yeah. Something about me is productive, right? Exactly. I don't know, like, what the rule is, if there's a rule about, like, phlegm color. Like, if it's colored, right, you're not supposed, it's maybe an infection.
What color is it?
It's like a kind of a taupe color.
Yeah, that's usually not very good.
No? Well, I don't really want to go to the doctor, so.
Have you taken medicine?
I've been taking a whole lot of medicine.
Okay.
But just a variety of different medicine.
Great.
Well, yeah. My hormone thing, it's like screws up how my body deals with bacteria. Like yeah. I think like E. coli, like I have E. coli
you
all the time.
You think you have E. coli all the time?
All the time. I think I have E. coli. I get like a text from the doctor every week that says, you've still got E. coli. It's in your chest. It's in your kidneys.
Just swimming in E. coli.
So I'm glad to be here in your home.
Great.
I've been coughing into the elbow. I've been doing the elbow. No, like
that.
A dab.
I appreciate
that. Is that like a dab?
Yep, that's a dab.
That's what
I think.
Right. Yeah,
it's quick. Coughing maybe your elbow. Both arms.
Both arms?
Yeah, it's kind of like you've got a cape that you pull in front of your face, like Dracula.
That's a dab?
No, that's not what that is.
Okay, oh, all right. Well, I'll Google it. I don't know what's happening, Amanda. I'm getting some kind of huge piece of furniture.
Really?
From Nate, I think.
Ooh, that he's making?
Yes. He sent me a picture of a big piece of wood, the size of a door or mm-hmm. something, or a tabletop, and it said, this is going to be something for you.
I just liked that you said he couldn't come because he had a wood deadline. I wanted to text back, like, is that setting wood?
Done that. That would have been so good.
It's better when I say it out loud. Though.
It is good.
I appreciate that.
I don't know. I've ordered him a piece of art with a quote from Ludwig Wittgenstein. That's like one of his favorite philosophers.
Okay.
I don't know that it's really one of his favorites. It's just one that he told me about. So
mm-hmm.
that means
cool.
He totally wants a piece of art with his face on
you
it, right?
Didn't make him a piece of furniture.
That's true.
Lazy.
I know. What the hell am I going to do? I mean, he's like custom making some kind of Christmas thing. And then I'm like, what do you want for Christmas? He says, I don't want anything. He doesn't want anything. And also, I feel very strange about material goods and him
mm-hmm.
because we've been having this ongoing conversation about the fact that my family is well off, to put it as his brother put it. And then, like,
well of?
Well off?
Well off.
Well off.
You don't even know how to say it, or is like this hard for you to say?
Well off. Like, we have a well of money.
My family comes from double white trail.
You know, funnily enough, yeah. My dad is an engineer. And when my dad's in Saudi Arabia, he lives in a trailer. It's
great.
Like a work thing.
Oh, yeah, that's totally yeah. like a desert thing.
Yeah, it's a desert thing.
Saudi Arabia. Arabia.
Yes.
Not Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. There's been a long-standing, like, joke that my dad's in the CIA.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that's what he does.
People really think that that's what he does. Because he can fly.
Mm-hmm.
He's super smart.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the last one you'd expect.
Oh, totally.
But that kind of makes him the first one that you'd expect. Like, he's big into drones. That seems like a CIA thing, right?
but just drones? Like recreational drones?
Recreational drones.
Okay.
One time, my dad accidentally dropped his drone on somebody's car that was driving down the street. He let it come and it fell on somebody's car and kind of hit it, and then it kind of bounced, came back off. My dad was like, they drove right under my, well, you drove right under my drone. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. He's like on the street. Like he didn't drive under your drone. Like it wasn't.
You got to yield to road rules.
You yield to the rules of the road, I would think. I don't know. I think my dad could be secretly cool, like a spy.
I think he's a little too relaxed to be a spy.
To be a spy. But what else? I mean, what else does the CIA do? It's intelligence, right? Central? I mean,
they have, like, accountants.
I don't think he's an accountant. He's head of the phone bank. How do you get that job? CIA receptionist.
I would love that. Hello, you've reached the... This is not Amanda speaking. Who are you trying to reach? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. The line's breaking up. I can't hear. Okay, bye.
They don't work here. This is not a real place. You never spoke to me.
He loves Dan Brown books.
Meep, 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 meep.
So, this just in, Jerusalem, now the capital of Israel. Thoughts?
Are you kidding me? I just said Saudi Arabia. Not to say the people who live in double wide trailers are dumb, but perhaps they haven't been to these places.
It became a very big thing because I accidentally said the word trash.
Yes.
About
my family.
About your family, yes. Nate was very upset by that.
Yeah, which I explained, I can call my family trailer trash because they're trash people.
Like they're garbage men for a living?
No, that's my wealthy brother-in-law. No, he's like an accountant.
A wealthy garbage man.
For a waste company.
He's head of the phone bank for the for the garbage people.
I would love to live in a trailer. Very low maintenance.
Think I would too. I was trying to what's the southern definition, the southern equivalent of sort of blue collar?
Yeah.
Because I imagine blue collar as being like in the Rust Belt, right. Like a Billy Joel song. Working class is, I guess, what I came up with.
Yeah. The thing that I couldn't articulate in the moment is that, like, that would be true if all of those people were actually working. But a lot of them aren't, which is why they lived in the trailers. I had one cousin who's married to a guy. She was a bartender at a bar called Dirt Bags. And her husband could not keep a job at the gas station. He, like, worked there a day, and he was like, ugh, I'm so much smarter than those people. So he was like, I'll just be unemployed.
God, that sounds like me.
Right?
Yeah.
The problem around there, kind of like steel industry or whatever, in the South, there were tons of textile mills.
Mm-hmm.
And then when all that stuff got shipped overseas,
yeah,
there's no work in these, like, little tiny small towns.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. It's like... Yeah, a little downtown, you know, or actually they would say going uptown. It was uptown. Which
it is like a Billy Joel song.
It is.
Uptown girl. But go ahead.
But like people don't have any money because nobody farms anymore and because they were working at mills and factories and now those are closed down. Yeah. So there were still a few jobs like that around, but there's just like tons of unemployed, undereducated people. I don't know, like...
You know what I decided y'all are?
What?
Descendants of Meemaws. That's what it is. Nate has a Meemaw, you have a Meemaw.
Oh, he has a Meemaw too?
Uh-huh, yes.
That's awesome.
I think that's just what y'all all
did
are.
Did he, or does he have a peepaw?
I don't know if he has a peepaw. I had a papa, but...
Yeah, I think my mom's side, I think they called him papa. I don't know. I like it when they call me Big Papa. But everyone just calls me Amanda.
Time people of the year are the women, the speaker outers. And that's not what they're called, but...
Silence breakers?
The silence breakers, mm-hmm. Yep. There's the speaker
good
outers.
Job. You were close.
That was close. We've been keeping a pretty good running tally every single week of who the newest sexual... this last week it was Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't we, in our conversations, that were kind of like a who would you do list, but it was actually a who I hope isn't a sexual offender?
Yes.
I think you mentioned Al Roker, didn't you?
Did I? That would like, wreck me.
I know, right?
That would be sad.
So
I can kind of see it, though. Can't you?
Yeah.
It's not good what's happening in your neck of the woods. Al Roker jokes.
Classic
Al Roker joke. I mean, no, just like people who I just genuinely, I will climb into the bathtub with a toaster.
If. Okay, sorry. I thought you were saying
that they become.
You would climb into the bathtub with this person?
No, that's a different list.
It's not a joint suicide.
Entirely. That's a different, there's a different list of those people.
So.
No, it's the people that I'm just like, I'm punching my ticket. I can't live in a world where the following people turn out to be sexual predators.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Kevin Spacey, super, super talented.
Extremely talented.
Extremely talented. You know how, like, there are those people who are so frickin' talented that something is
you know
terribly
something's
off?
Not right. Yeah.
Yeah, like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Comedians are like that, too.
Yes.
And then they all have terrible addictions and issues.
Well, it's like...
Not that I'm saying that, like, sexually assaulting a woman is an addiction or just like a, oh, you poor thing, but...
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, either the talent goes to their head or they've been successful for so long, you know, that, like, that this power is just kind of, like, whatever. They feel like they can't be, I don't know, get in trouble.
Yeah, like Garrison Keillor.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. He just seems so wholesome. I mean, he just seems so awesome, I guess.
Apparently
I mean, who
that?
Would think that public radio, like, that power went to his head?
I mean, is it?
I think my people that are on my list of, like, these people cannot... I would be really upset. It would be Tom Hanks.
Mm, right. Or Rita Wilson, for that matter.
I was originally Barack Obama was on my list, but... I think Michelle Obama would be more upsetting.
Important. I don't know both of them.
Maybe she could be more predatory. She's got those arms.
God, she could have her way with anybody she wanted
to. She could have her way with me if she wanted to.
Me too. Michelle, if you're listening.
Please come have your way with me and then make me eat vegetables. You're the only one who can. John Stewart, maybe?
Oh.
Colbert. Stephen Colbert. I don't want anything to be bad about him.
Me neither.
Let's see. So,
and
Colbert.
If we can group by couples/families, Hanks
Wilson.
Wilson family, mm-hmm. Obama family.
Mm-hmm.
I would also, let's just put John Stewart and Stephen Colbert in a family.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. Like, they're a duo. Yeah.
My mom said that, they're both coming to see my play. Hold on.
Your mom and your dad?
Yeah. So
my God.
I reserved 2 comps. So she said, well, your dad said he wants to come see your play when I go on Sunday. I was like, really? And she was like, yeah. You know, the funny thing is, when he was telling me that he wanted to go, he said, yep, I think I'm getting liberal.
You think he is? Oh my gosh.
I've told you the story about when I went to the Unitarian Church and my mom couldn't deal. She was like, they don't believe in anything. And we got in this big argument, and I'm like, social justice and stuff, Mom. And she was like, well, our church has people who they adopt children. That we like adoption. That's a social issue. And I'm just like, yeah, I got it, Mom. And I'm just like in tears. And my dad comes in and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And like, he hugs me and he's like, I get it. You just want to love on people. I understand. I voted for Jimmy Carter.
Oh my God, I'm dying. Oh my God.
Yeah. Sorry, you were going to say something about my play or about them going.
Oh, no, I was going to say you should say what your play is about.
Oh, that would make sense, too.
Yeah.
Well, every single one I do, my dad's like, well, I didn't think they need to curse so much. Or nobody talks like that. And we're like, yeah, they do, Dad. Or usually, like, I'm kissing someone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, is there going to be any kissing in this play? Ugh. Like, he's really grossed out by that. He was grossed out when I was pregnant, like, in real life. He was just kind of like, ugh. Like, didn't want to think about it. And this is just like a walking testament to having sex. So that's how, like, uptight he's been around physical stuff. So in this one, there's cursing and I'm a lesbian. So he gets to see me kiss a girl, which maybe won't bother him as much.
I mean, because in the last couple years, the plays you've done, you've been... let's see, you like a really perverted, version of a Dr. Seuss character.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been a woman whose husband invented the vibrator.
Yeah.
It was about the suppression of women's sexuality. Mm-hmm. And what would be the opposite of suppressed? Pressed up? Pushed up, like
sure.
Boobs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that. yeah, so I've, like, orgasmed on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about rape and...
You were brutally murdered and assaulted and
brutally murdered
in
a couple
in
of
a
them.
In a couple of them.
Yeah.
And now...
Also made out in them.
You're a lesbian.
I think of all plays, all of those,
he
it's
will
a great
enjoy
one,
that
but I'm
one.
Like, I know exactly when I say fuck. And exactly when I say cunt, you know, like,
how many times do you say those words?
Well, I say cunt twice, but it's within
in
the
a
same...
derogatory way or in like a
no
a geographical way,
like body geography.
Yeah.
Yeah. Body geography. And then I acknowledge that I said it. So I repeat it.
I think it's funny that so you've been prepping me, getting me ready to come see you in this play.
Yeah.
Because there are some things you knew would make me uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
in the play.
Mm-hmm.
I see, I can't even say it out loud because it makes me so uncomfortable.
Fart jokes?
I don't understand what it adds to the play, and I haven't even seen the play.
It sets up a character stereotype.
Okay.
I think, mean, also, a lot of people laugh at it. So if you think humor is valuable in the play, then yeah.
Okay, so it's not you that does it.
No.
Okay. I don't think bathroom humor is funny, but like everybody else on earth does. Mm-hmm. And I'm super uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I'm like, I'm uncomfortable and I'm judging you because of it.
Right.
If anything, I'm judging myself because I don't understand why this makes me so uncomfortable, but it does.
A lot of laughter comes from being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
A very private thing that is not private anymore. But it's like something, it's a shared uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. everybody else is also uncomfortable and they're just like owning that we're all uncomfortable.
Which
with
I'm all for like naming a thing that mm-hmm. I'm very self-deprecating and I'm all for naming a thing, but like maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just like, it just seems like an obvious humor or there's mm-hmm. There's just no cleverness involved mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah. You're like, talk to me when your poop can speak words.
Yeah, the Queen's English. It's interesting to sort of how much you learn about yourself in the early stages of a relationship because of the fact that I'm like, Nate's learning all of these things about me and it must seem so fucking weird to him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say that I was like totally open and free with all of my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jay, I was. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just like a him thing. Mm-hmm. There's some married people that like have to close the bathroom door, cannot mm-hmm. like be in the same vicinity if the other one is using the bathroom.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. I just don't use the bathroom. I've just only at IKEA and the airport. Those are the two places for some reason I can always guarantee yeah. that I'm going to have a bowel movement at IKEA and the sure. airport. So I just save it up for then. I don't understand what my deal is with body things.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've discussed it before. Like, for some reason, I can say having sex in a clinical way pretty much to you and doctors. But the rest of the time, I can only say doing it. And that's it. That's the only way that I will refer to that mm-hmm. particular act. And then in terms of, poop, like, I don't even feel natural to say that at all.
What about the word defecate?
I mean, that to me just sounds messy, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
My mom would always ask us if I was like, oh, my throat really hurts. Like, if we were sick for any reason,
mm-hmm.
the first thing my mom would ask is, when's the last time you had a BM? Bowel movement. And we're like, Mom, my throat hurts. Like, God, why are you going to talk about that?
When I lived in Costa Rica, the grocery store in Puerto Jimenez in this little town where I was called the Big BM. I'll say my stomach is upset
mm-hmm.
as a terminology for just regular gastrointestinal functioning.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still say my stomach is upset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just this victim mentality or I'm just, I don't know. But defecate sounds, to me, that just sounds like an accident.
Kind of. To me, it sounds kind of violent, like pointed.
Speaking of pointed and defecation, did you ever know that, and gorillas threw feces at me. When I was in, maybe this is the root of this.
Maybe. What is it? What is it?
So when I was in middle school, I was in sixth grade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth or seventh grade. I'm trying to think. Let's see. I was the year I got that Gap sweater. I returned it at the Mall of America. That was in Minnesota. I went to the Mall of America with my friend Kirsten, and I knew her in the seventh grade. So this was seventh grade, okay?
That was a wicked mind map.
This was at the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago. And we were at the zoo with my class, and just all of a sudden we're walking through the primate exhibit and just like mealy putrid like smack on me. A gorilla fucking threw its feces at me. It hit me. It got all over my sweater. Mrs. my teacher had to take me to the store
mm-hmm.
of the zoo, bought me a t-shirt, a different shirt to wear, took my sweater, wrapped it up in a plastic grocery bag, and I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I still remember that Donna Lee tried to scrub every last bit of ape feces out of that sweater and then returned it to the Gap.
No.
Yes.
Oh my God. And it worked. Oh no.
I so hope they put it back on the rack and somebody bought that monkey feces sweater.
Oh my God.
But I mean, I don't know.
Or it went to the outlet. That's disgusting. I mean, that
it had
a
tag
sense.
On it that says
that makes
as
a lot
is.
Of sense that's where it came from. You want to know a fun story about me and filth?
Sure.
When I was in fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
we walked the track at recess. Like, there was a group of girls that just walked because that's what our teacher did. And because
like old ladies that walk a track?
Yeah, we're too old to play on the playground.
You know? So we're going to walk?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I saw a balloon on the ground. And I was like, huh, wonder where this came from. And I picked it up. And the teacher was immediately like, there's a trash can right there. I need you to go throw that away. And I need you to go immediately to the nurse's office. And I think she might have, like, written a note and, like, given it to me to give to the nurse. And, yeah, I picked up a used condom.
Gross.
Off of the ground.
Gross.
When I was in fifth grade.
That was on the track of the school?
Yeah. It was, like, beside it. You know, it wasn't in the middle of it, but not much better.
I mean, that's semantics at that point.
Near the sidewalk to go into a portable, which brings us back to trailers. Were there any rumors in your elementary school about, like, somebody that was having sex in fourth grade?
If there were, I was not privy to them because nobody talked to me. I was probably trying to start that rumor about myself.
Oh, okay. Got it. That makes sense.
Nate has decided to try and tell me stuff that makes me super uncomfortable about my body because he doesn't know that it's going to make me uncomfortable.
Oh, he's like complimenting you?
Kind of. But I'm like, no, stop it. Like, stuff that he thinks is really sexy and attractive.
But you're like, I purposefully don't look in the mirror?
Yes, exactly. Okay. I'm like, I was 20 before I knew there was more than one hole down there. Like,
no.
Well, I mean, I knew there were two, but I didn't know there were three.
No, Leah.
Uh-huh. I'm dead serious. Maybe 20. 20 is an exaggeration. Vivian, do you remember her?
That sounds familiar.
So it would have been junior or senior year. And we were on tour for As You Like It. And I remember her saying something about different holes or something like that.
And you were like, whoa, what?
And I was like, wait, huh?
When I first, after I had gotten my period, I guess, I was on a ski vacation with Christy's family. I think there might have been, like, a pool at this place, like a heated pool or something. For some reason, I was, like, struggling to figure out how to put a tampon in for the first time. Because my mom had essentially said, like, you probably shouldn't use a tampon if you're a virgin. Like, you can use a tampon when you're married, kind of.
You can use a tampon when you're married.
And so Christy's mom was like, oh, it's nothing. Just take this hand mirror and go check it out. Go just check it out.
No.
And I was just like, what? Yeah. So there you go. We covered
you
it
can
all
have a tampon when you're married. That's the best thing ever.
Next time on The Nervous Record.
Nate says the thing that boggles his mind most in the world is how I came to be in that family. Because I seem so different than that group.
It's probably because I raised you.
That's like, true.
Like Mowgli and Mother Baloo.
You're Mowgli?
No.
You're Baloo?
Yeah, I know it seems contrary.
Baloo, is he the one that's like, oh my dude, like that one?
If you want to follow us online, you can find us on Twitter at Nervous Record, or you can follow us on Instagram at The Nervous Record, or you can like our Facebook page at The Nervous Record, and most importantly, you can throw us some money at patreon.com/The Nervous Record. We got to pay our producer somehow.